Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Persimmon Analyst Conference Call. My name is Jacob, and I will be your conference coordinator. For the duration of the call, you will be in listen only. However, at the end of the presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero, and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to Jeff Fairbairn to begin. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Persimmon trading update for the first 6 months of 2014. I'm joined this morning with our CFO, Mike Killoran, and I'll outline the details of our trading updates, and then I will ask if there are any questions. So we're very pleased this morning to announce the following details. Trading during the first 6 months of this year has been strong, and total revenues have increased by 33% to £1.2 billion. The group legally completed 6,408 new homes during the period, which is up 28% on the prior year. Visitor numbers to our site across the UK were up 5%, and cancellation rates are at 16%, which is in line with the previous year. The group's average selling price has increased by 4% to £186,000, but that does include the social housing, so the content in there of private housing is priced at just over £200,000 per house. And that is the increase that we see is primarily due to a continued movement towards a larger proportion of family housings, albeit it is only marginal. And customer demand for good quality housing in attractive locations remains very good. Mortgage lenders have continued to support customer access to the housing market, exercising good discipline in an improving marketplace. And this disciplined approach has been complemented recently by the implementation of the Mortgage Market Review and is further evidenced by recent adjustments to lending practices by the major lenders. This has been reinforced with last week's announcement of measures by the Bank of England focusing on ensuring lending practices remain sustainable in the future. As anticipated, we opened 90 new sites in the first half of the year, which leaves our outlets network slightly lower at 380 active sites, as we've sold through our existing sites more swiftly due to the stronger sales rates. We plan to open a further 100 new sites in the second half of the year. Our total forward sales revenue at the 30th of June is £1.18 billion, and that's 28% higher than the prior year. We have circa 4,100 new homes sold forward into the private sale market, which itself is 29% ahead year on year, with an average selling price for the private of £204,600. We're very pleased with our strong liquidity, and this has supported substantial land replacement through the first 6 months of this year, with £290 million spent and 14,300 new plots of land acquired. Our consented land bank at the 30th of June now stands at 82,300 plots, which gives the business a very good platform for future development. At the end of June, our cash holdings were circa £326 million, resulting from £122 million of free cash net inflow in the first half of the year. The second payment of our capital return plan of £214 million or 70 pence a share is to be made on the 4th of July, having received shareholders' approval at the AGM on 16th of April 2014. With the gradual improvement in performance of the wider UK economy, confidence in our regional markets across the UK remains positive as we enter the traditionally slower summer weeks. We will continue to focus on delivery of our operational objectives and execution of the longer-term strategy. That is the update that we've released, and now I'd like to open up for questions from anybody, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. The first question comes from the line of Andy Murphy from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Andy.
Hi, I just had a couple of questions. First of all, on the sales rates in the first half, can you give us a flavour for what the private sales rates per site on a weekly basis has been, and whether that's changed as the period has gone on, and how that compares to last year? And then just on the land acquisition cost, can you give us either a figure or a flavour for what you're seeing in terms of the average cost per site, and whether that's changed dramatically at all over the period? Thanks.
Well, in terms of I'll do the first part, the last part, Andy, on the land replacement. Obviously, we're very pleased with the rate of investment there, and we've got some very good opportunities. We continue to see very good opportunities as we go forward, and we're keen to capture those. But we are continuing to move our hurdle rates forward, so that, you know, will give us a better position in terms of margin going forward.
On the sales rates, Andy, just going to your first part of the question. You saw at the time we did our AGM update that we reported a PD sales rate which was 25% ahead of the prior year. That was around about 0.7 of a sale type per week for that first sort of 15 weeks or so. The period since then has run on the private side at around 0.55 of a sale per site per week, which is around 7-8% ahead of the prior year. So obviously, the comps, as sort of kicked on last year by the introduction of Help to Buy, have become a bit tougher, and that's why you've seen that compression, if you will, in the outperformance over last year. But as I say, you know, we have moved towards the typically slower summer weeks, and that's why the absolute level of sales rate has come off a little bit from the previous period as well. So,
right.
You know, we're pleased with the condition of the market at the moment across the regional markets that remain pretty firm in our experience.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Charlie Campbell from Liberum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Two questions from me, please. The first one was just a general question on the sales rate, because you seem to have taken quite a high sales rate in the first half, and it, you know, obviously the order flow has been good, but the sales rate has been pretty high, and yet inflation is still relatively subdued. Just wondered whether you might have been able to sell those units more slowly and got more inflation, or, you know, what was the thought in terms of speed of sale versus inflation? And then the second question was on the mortgage market, and just wondering whether the mortgage market review has led to any changes on the ground. So anybody getting turned down for mortgages that had thought they were going to get a mortgage, or, you know, anything you can tell us in terms of the MMR or time taken between application and approval and so on. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. Well, certainly in terms of the sales rate, we're pleased with the rate that we've achieved, and certainly up until April, obviously we were working against some lower sales rates from the prior year. Since then, you know, in comparison to the introduction of Help to Buy last year, obviously that's slowed as a comparable. But in terms of, you know, capturing price growth, that's something we're very sensitive to. We're testing prices all the time. We look at, one of the tests of that is really down valuations. Are we pricing our property at the right level to capture the best value? We believe that we are. We've obviously worked hard to reduce incentives to capture additional value that way. In terms of absolute selling price growth, I think, you know, we're very much, you know, controlled by the market and the lending practices by the lenders through the valuation process. So I think, you know, we're looking for opportunities and we're taking those opportunities where we can. But I think, you know, if you look at the ONS statistics over the last 12-month period, you can see that stripping out London and the second-hand market, new homes have seen overall a 2% increase across the 12-month period. And I think, you know, we very much, as an average, would agree with that sort of stat. In terms of the mortgage market review, I think really one of the key issues here is about messaging in the media. What do people actually think is happening? They're reading issues there about, you know, what the market review would mean for them. And you know, we're all aware of some of the things that were being said in the press. However, if we refer people to the financial advisors, we find that the rate of approval is very similar to what it was before. So in the vast majority of cases, you know, in that review process, we're finding that our customers coming forward are mortgageable at the same level as before. So the impact is very small.
Thank you very much. It's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Clyde Lewis from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Morning, Jeff. Morning, Mike. I think I've got a couple on the land side of things, just in terms of sort of, just to follow up on your comment that you've moved the hurdle rate up. I just wanted to sort of ask, you know, what was the thinking behind that, given obviously the returns were pretty good before, so why have you moved that hurdle rate up? Geographically, where has the focus been in terms of that sort of 12,300 in terms of the secured plots? The sort of land creditor usage within that, and of that sort of 82,300 plots that you've got now, what's the split there between owned and controlled, and how would you see that pan shifting over the sort of coming, you know, couple of years?
Slide. Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of a bit more general sort of colour about the land market, I think what we're seeing is that the planning process has started to free up more opportunity. So I think whilst, you know, we've said before, there's a little more competition in some areas, I think there's also more, you know, more opportunities available. But, you know, we're looking right across our land bank across the country and making decisions based on the shape of what our business is in those areas in terms of market share, and what the quality of the opportunities are coming forward. So all the time we're reviewing that and trying to balance the best possible solution for the business, and pushing forward where we can to continue to look after the quality of the investment. So I think, you know, in terms of geographical coverage, we're seeing opportunities right across the board, and you know, in the southeast, you know, we've got good opportunities coming forward, but equally we have right up through Scotland, the northeast, etc. So I think, you know, we're very pleased with that situation, but also, you know, we've got to think about our strategic land, and we're making good progress on that. So we're conscious of obtaining more planning consents in the shorter term on strategic land, and we see some great opportunities for us to invest further in that as well. So I think generally, you know, we're happy with where we are. We're very, you know, we've got good liquidity, and we're able to invest. Continue to move the hurdle rates to suit better investment, whilst also returning cash to the shareholder.
Clyde, on the split of owned and under control, we'll obviously provide that when we get to August. It's a little bit early to be able to provide you know, the clarity on that. But thinking about the land creditor position, we don't expect a big increase in the land creditor. We opened the year just over 300 million. That may be moved slightly forward, maybe around the 320 million mark, but we're not expecting, you know, a significant move on the land creditor at June.
Okay. But in terms of the sort of concept, I mean, the land bank's up to 6.5 years now in terms of that owned and controlled against, probably sort of, this year's sort of output there or thereabouts. I mean, that's obviously a very long land bank, and that's obviously has an asset drag, if you like. So, as a model, do you see the business shifting more to the sort of controlled and less owned outright as you sort of try and balance that return on equity, return on capital sort of trade-off?
Well, we're very conscious of return on capital as well, Clyde, but, we're thinking of the, sort of future and, where we need to position our business. We're keen to obviously cover off any potential risk via the election in 2015. Who knows what's going to happen with the planning process. We've no reason to believe that, that will change significantly, but, we have seen before, where things can change and make a difference there. So I think, whilst we can obtain good opportunities at the right level, I think it's right for the business to do so. But conscious of your point there, Clyde, we're keen to make sure that we continue to make it more challenging and push the margin.
Okay, great. Last one for me is just the, I think you're planning opening 100 new sites in the second half. In terms of sort of closures, a similar sort of number or slightly more if the sales rate sort of stays where it has been in the last sort of couple of months?
Yeah, I think, it's a very valid point. I think, we hope to get back to somewhere around the sort of 390 level. We're slightly down, as you can see from the update there, but those additional openings should pull it back a bit. But really, we're working very hard in the business to maintain that because the increased sales rates are working through the sites much more quickly.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. The next question comes from the name of Kevin Kamak from Cenkos. Please go ahead.
Morning, gents. I've got a couple which is just really sort of working through from comments you made with the finals. Just in two things in that respect. I think at that time you were talking about 10% volume growth for the year, acknowledging that there was likely to be a slowing through the second half, but noting the size of the order book. Given the first half outturn, are you somewhat more confident of that number today? And the second thing I just wanted to ask was, in the order book at the last year end, and I know obviously 6 months, in essence, is not a great period to judge this, but at that time you were talking about the ASP on the PDs being 9% ahead in the order book, and I think the figure you're quoting today is more like 3, and I'm just wondering if those two numbers are compatible or and if they are, is there any obvious explanation for that?
All right, Kevin, thanks for that. I think in terms of volume this year, we're very pleased with what we've achieved in the first half, and the guys and the teams have worked really hard to increase their production levels to get that. So we're pleased to be able to move towards meeting the demand that we're seeing. In terms of volume for the whole year, I think that we anticipate that the split first to second half will be around about 48%. We're comfortable with the potential volume growth that we can achieve this year, and that pattern really follows is 2012 and 11. So we expect a similar sort of split this year on that, Kevin. Obviously, last year was quite exceptional, but we expect to achieve a more normalised trading between first and second half this year.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
On the pricing, Kevin, forward order book here that we brought into the first half, the pricing in that on the PD side were over £200,000. That was 4% up on the previous year's position of just over 193,000, whereas the HA pricing in the forward order book that we brought forward, just over £100,000, it was about 4% ahead. So when you look at the mix, there's about 1,000 units forward sold for both PD and HA. As
well. Right.
So the mix effect delivered around about, you know, 9 to 10% increase in the average price in the forward order book, but that was due to the mix of PD increasing compared relative to the HA in the forward orders. Now the position we were closing out at the end of June has seen you know, a continued increase in the PD content. So you know, rather than a 50-50 split on the volume side of orders, PD and HA, at June we've got 55% of order volume PD, around 4,100 units. Statement.
Yeah.
And the ASP on PD in the forward orders at £200,600 is about 3% ahead. So, you know, 4% ahead at January compared with 10% ahead now. I think that, you know, that is a movement from just shy of £201,000 to just shy of £205,000. I think it sort of shows a sort of a continuing trend on this this slight increase in PD pricing in our forward orders over that 6 month period.
Understood. Thank you very much. Could I just possibly have one more?
Yeah.
Just looking at just be interested in your comments on the cancellation rate has, you know, stayed relatively constant now for a period of time at that 16. I mean, given the strength of the market, the fact that, you know, albeit maybe small, but prices nationally are going ahead, and the greater tightening or observing of stress test rules that lenders have to do, etc. Is it, you know, would one not have expected to see that cancellation rate actually declining? And I'd just be interested to know what the chief reason for cancellations is, whether that's changed over the last 18 months at all.
I think, Kevin, on cancellations, I look at these, you know, quite regularly, but there are very many reasons for it, and I suppose that's maybe why it does, you know, continue at a fairly similar level. You know, there are fluctuations week by week, but I think, you know, there are many reasons why people change their mind, and some of it can be down to, you know, their finance position, but others about, you know, their current circumstances. So I think, you know, we're quite comfortable with it as a level. I do appreciate what you're saying in terms of the strength of the market, but I think, you know, people will always have a number of reasons why they may change their mind. So I think I can't really put my finger on any more detail than that, but there's no major issues or reasons for that to be different.
So that would sort of basically be as base a level of it as it's likely to be in any sort of market.
I think, yeah, we would expect it to be of that sort of magnitude, yeah.
All right, that's lovely. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kevin.
Cheers, Kevin.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Gavin Jacob from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, Jeff. Morning, Mike.
Kevin.
Hi.
Just one for me, actually. Just want to cover off what your experience on build and labour costs, and maybe to talk about it geographically, and what you're expecting in terms of any restrictions on output, just looking out over the next 6 months.
Yeah. Well, I think you know, it's a very relevant issue. Obviously, we've pushed hard on production to meet the demand. And that does, you know, mean that we need more resources to achieve that. So, certainly from a material point of view, you know, for obtaining materials, we're quite comfortable with that settled down. Pricing is you know, pretty controlled. I think where there's more pressure really is on trades, you know, that's probably going to continue for a while. You know, certainly we, as with a number of our peers, are now taking on more apprentices and training more people, which is great. But in the short term, you know, there is a bit of a stretch out there on that. But I think in terms of, you know, to give you some idea on anticipated price inflation, cost inflation, we would say for this year now we anticipate 2 to 3%. So it's certainly at a manageable level, and which we're comfortable with. In terms of dealing with the resource issue, clearly we've got our Space 4 timber frame product, which this year we anticipate, you know, we'll do around 5,000 units on that product, which is helping us fill the gap a bit really on the trade side of things. So we're pleased with the progress we've made on that.
Okay, thanks. So you're seeing it more just you're going to see a little bit on cost, but you're not expecting any kind of restriction on output in the near term then?
No, I you know, we obviously we've achieved, you know, the trade that we need to get the volume increase that we've achieved. So I think, you know, as a business, we raised the platform during the course of the second 6 months of last year, and we've maintained that going forward with similar production levels. So we're quite pleased with where we are. It's quite challenging, and the guys are finding, you know, that it's more difficult, but it is manageable.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jeff Davies from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. A few questions from me. The first one, going back to the hurdle rate, you mentioned that it's increased. I wonder if you were just to blend together roughly all of the regions, what that hurdle rate may be now. What kind of level has it moved up to? That's the first one. The second one was on the average plot cost. Just looking at the land expenditure and the number of plots that have been bought, it looks like an average plot cost of just over £20,000, which is remarkably low by historic standards and against the peers. Can you just give us a bit more detail on what's driving that, and also perhaps an indication of what the gross margin may be on those plots? And then the last one, you've obviously had a strong period of land acquisition, over 14,000 plots. What should we expect for land buying in the full year, perhaps both in terms of plot numbers and total cash spend? Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I think, you know, in terms of the hurdle rate, it really does depend on the individual circumstances, but we're certainly at a minimum 25% off-site margin, but in some instances it can be quite a bit more than that. Obviously, you know, we're concentrating on bringing through strategic land, which is generally providing us a higher margin as well. So I think, you know, it depends on the individual circumstances, but certainly a minimum of 25, Jeff. In terms of, you know, the likely position for the second half of the year, we still see very good opportunities. We will still invest pretty strongly in the second half. It's difficult to anticipate exactly what it's going to be. So I can't give you an absolute picture on that because there's so many moving parts to it. But we do anticipate that it will be pretty substantial.
On the average plot cost, Jeff, I mean, as you know, the average plot cost is just but one area of it. And I think, you know, we'll provide detail on that when we talk to you again in August. I think gross margin expectation, just sort of flipping to that, I think that, as Jeff sort of mentioned already, the deals that we're doing where we have, you know, pushing our hurdle rates, our return requirement, we're very pleased that, you know, the gross margin expectations associated with the new land replacement are higher than, in, you know, generally speaking, than that sort of minimum level. So, I mean, each one, as you can appreciate, is different. But generally speaking, you know, you're looking at sort of 2, 3, 100 basis points higher than that minimum, generally speaking, albeit, as Jeff said, some are a better quality than that. And that's just focusing on the open market deals that we're doing rather than factoring in the strategic as well. So obviously strategic, adds...
Originally I had a higher number in.
I'm pleased with, the condition of the land market. And we see some very good opportunities there for us.
Would it be fair to say, Mike, that driving that 20,000 plot cost, you've got a very high strategic conversion in there?
No, we've got about 25%, not particularly high. And as I say, that's quite, if you reflect on that, it is a reasonably strong observation of the open market being some high quality deals. So, we're quite happy with where the land market is currently around the country.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And we currently have one final question from the line of Gwyneth Johnson from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, yes, it's Gwyneth. Morning, gents. I have two questions, if I may. The first one is just in terms of those land acquisitions. You obviously, I think said 25% strategic, dipped out a little bit there, but I'm wondering, has the size of the sites that you've been acquiring increased? Or actually, has it been fairly static on what we saw through the previous sort of 12 months? And then also just in terms of your completions in the first half, I wonder, are you going to give a breakdown of affordable versus private? I'm just wondering, particularly relative to the selling price that you've reported, how much of that comes through mix and how much comes through underlying?
Okay. Thanks, Glynis. Well, I think certainly in terms of the size of sites, there are some big sites available at in the marketplace, and we're keen to bring those into the business. But I think, overall it's pretty similar pattern to previously. I think the important thing really is to think about, the number of outlets, because you can see that, the turnover in terms of number of sites is very swift. So we need to make sure that we've got sufficient outlets coming through the process to replace those. So I think generally very similar in terms of the pattern from what we've seen before. But I think in dealing with, the point about the size of the land bank, it is really about future proofing in terms of covering the number of outlets that we bring through the process. Because there's still work to do really on the planning front to improve the speed of that and ability to convert them into new selling outlets. I think that's just something we need to bear in mind, particularly, as we said earlier, as we move forward into next year, as we're very conscious to, the current planning system is working well. So, let's bring through the land that we control through the planning process, through strategic land, but also supplement with sufficient on-market land to provide the number of outlets we need to manage the business at this scale.
And on the legals, Glynis, there's about, of the 6,400 units that we've delivered, around about 1,000 of those were affordable units with an average price of just shy of £100,000. Then obviously 5,400 units or so at just over £200,000 on the private sale side.
Thank you.
Thanks, Louise.
Thank you. And we now have another question from the line of John Bell from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, gents. A couple of questions from me, if I can. I think my line broke up as well on the average plot cost issue. Are you saying that the strategic content within those plots acquired is 25% and that's broadly consistent with the prior period? Maybe you could just clarify that and therefore isn't having an impact. And then secondly, what's your exposure to Help to Buy in the period in terms of percent of reservations?
Yeah, sure. Well, in terms of Help to Buy, It's been fairly consistent since introduction, and it's running around about 40% of all private sales on that, John, which we're comfortable with. And, you know, our product is very much aligned to that product, so we're quite pleased with the way that's working.
Yep.
In terms of the content of strategic land in the land that we bought in the last 6 months, we said it was 25%. So there'll be about 3,600 plots from strategic land, which actually is below what we would ordinarily pull through. So it's a relatively low level in this period, but I wouldn't read too much into that. I think, you know, the long-term run is still up, and we anticipate that, you know, increasing quite significantly over coming periods as we try and increase the content of strategic land towards that 40 to 50% mark. So I think, you know, just on this occasion, you know, it's the way that the sites have landed, you know, that we've actually captured them in this period, that there's quite a lot of on-market deals in that.
Are you buying more land in the north more recently?
Not especially. I think, you know, it's very well balanced right across the country. And, you know, we've got, you know, a very good land bank position in the north irrespective. So I think, you know, we just generally look at the individual companies in terms of not just the length of the land bank, but the number of sites that they're working from any time, as it is that really that determines the sales rates that we achieve. So I think it's just making sure that we've got a very good balanced land bank in all of the 24 businesses. Obviously, not we haven't got anything in central London. So, but elsewhere, we're very pleased with the shape of that.
And underlying, if I can have one more, please, underlying land prices, are you seeing them fairly stable or edging up a touch? I'm just trying to explore that 20K plot cost figure a little bit more.
I think, John, it's pretty stable, to be fair. You know, we had seen, and we did say before, that there was a bit more pressure around the southeast. As we were seeing the house prices increasing forward a little bit more down there. But I think that's probably stabilised. I think, you know, we generally see land prices, you know, continuing at a similar level, if not, as I say, pushing our margin forward and buying at a slightly improved rate.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. We currently have no questions coming through. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press star one if you would like to ask a question. No, we have no further questions coming through, so I will hand back to your host to wrap up today's conference.
Right, well, thanks very much, everyone. Just in summary, we're at Persimmon, we're very pleased with the progress that we've made. In terms of the market, you know, we've seen good levels of demand continuing, and we've worked in the business very hard to make sure that we satisfy that demand, and whilst still maintaining, you know, our pricing on the house prices, and obviously reviewing that on a continued basis. So it's really the response to demand which I think is a strong factor in terms of our numbers. It's very cash generative for us, so you can see that we're very liquid. It gives us options, and we're very pleased to be able to increase and accelerate the capital return plan, as well as providing a very strong base for the business for the future with an exceptionally strong land bank at low cost. So we're very pleased with where we are. There are challenges out there. But you know, we're working very hard in the teams, and I'm very pleased with what everybody's done to put us in the position we're in. So thanks very much for listening in, and we'll no doubt speak again soon. Thank you. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.